B-Pod Studios.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Puck intercepted by the Bruins out in front. Pastrnak shoots. They score!
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's a lot more to worry about than
Toucher and Rich. It's a real nightmare. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Puck intercepted by the Bruins out in front. Pastrnak shoots. They score! Patrice Bergeron, after the puck was turned over, took a pass at the bottom of the left wing circle from David Pastrnak, and Bergeron hammers it home. Bruins 3, Hurricanes nothing for Bergeron, second of the night.
There you go. Tonight, the scrimmage. Monday, it all starts. 7:30 puck drop. Or, 7:30 pregame here. 95 Sports Hub, 8 o'clock puck drop, more like 8:35.
But. That seemed like that game was played in January.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
It's been forever. And by the way, since I mentioned the scrimmage thing, like half the section sold out now.
There you go.
It's the power.
Get them while you can.
It's the power of this show. Mike Rupp, you know him from his days in the NHL. He was a hero. According to Wikipedia, in the 2003 Stanley Cup Final. He's now an analyst on the NHL Network, and you can catch Mike on NHL Tonight, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup Finals game, even though you're not supposed to put an S on that. And Mike joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Hello, Mr. Rupp.
Hey, fellas, you got to be careful with that Wikipedia, you know. It's not always correct.
See, I get a one sheet, and I imagine that it's been ripped from Wikipedia. I would imagine that is the case. So I've been called out on it before.
I've done an interview before, because it used to say on my Wikipedia, someone went in there and edited it, obviously, that I was good friends with Tiger Woods, and Tiger had admitted to me beating him in a round of golf. And I was asked that in an interview before. And I was like, you got that off my Wikipedia, I think, because that's not true. And it's crazy. It said that I was an aspiring baker.
See, that's a great idea. See, if I was like a famous athlete or a celebrity, I would put on my website just all these like weird facts just to see who really did the research. Like, who got gritty and knows the guy that they're talking to?
I know, it's so good.
Well, I mean, you humiliated the poor man, but you could have just gone with the flow, but nonetheless, you felt better about yourself. All right. Okay, so the Bruins are doing this scrimmage tonight, and it's not a money grab. The money goes to charity. And they got the kids up from Providence, and they're playing in front of a crowd. I guess the idea is to get the game day kind of routine back. Does this seem like a good idea to you, or is it whatever?
No, I think it's great. I mean, it's I like when guys kind of do things outside the box, and this would probably fall under that for me. It's something that I don't think we've seen before necessarily. I think that's the hardest thing when you're off some time. You want just what they're doing there. You want to simulate the closest you can without having obviously physicality of. To a certain level, but just to emulate a game. I mean, that's the hardest thing with the time off. I think the Bruins are going to be just fine from things like this, but also I think they're going to be fine because St. Louis, it was a very good thing for Boston that St. Louis wrapped it up in six games, because if they were still playing and they had to go to seven, they have a little stretch to now too. And they're going to have to deal with some of the same things that the Bruins are going to have to deal with. So I think it kind of evens the playing field a little bit as far as that rustiness, if you will. But I love this move. I mean, I've never seen it before, and we'll see how it transpires.
How do you control, like, physical contact? Because they want, they want hitting, and we talked to Cassidy yesterday, and they you know, they want contact and things like that, but, you know, he doesn't want to go too far. How difficult is that as a player to kind of hold back?
I mean, it's not that bad. I mean, I think that a lot of times when you have these things, the physicality that you want, I think that you remove some of the physicality with speed because of the obvious, that you don't want any fluky thing to happen. But you can have a lot of controlled situations in practice where coaches will go 3-on-3 down low when you do it in controlled environments where, you know, you're starting with protecting the puck and you're getting the guy in the idea is to be physical with one another. Kind of playing, I guess, in the trenches of the offensive zone or defensive zone. And those are things that, you know, it's important to get. It's important to get that going because it's going to be tough when you go 10-plus days of zero contact, then all of a sudden you're getting tossed in there. So, you know, yeah, it's not that difficult. If anything, you know what, I was always a big fan of sometimes when you get that stuff going, and it sounds kind of counterproductive, but sometimes when you get that physicality going and you have that time off, you might get a little pushing match in practice between some teammates. That actually is a decent thing. As long as it doesn't go too far, you know, you're sitting there and guys, you know, one guy might think that you should have hit him that hard, and the other guy, you know, you just kind of get that. I mean, it's simulating the same thing, getting the juices flowing.
Now, Mike, how old were you when you first played when you were in the Stanley Cup final? How old were you?
I was 23.
Okay, good. Because there's some young guys on this team, and, like, you know, the one thing that you can look at the Bruins and say that doesn't make you worry about, you know, all this time off where you just have nothing to do but really think about what the gravity of what you're about to play for. You got guys who have won a cup and guys who have lost a cup on this team. The 2013 team, obviously, we know how that turned out, and then 2011. But you have this young crew who for 11 days are now sitting there with all this time to basically get in their own head and realize this is something they've played for their whole life. What was it like for you before you played in the Stanley Cup final, and how did you deal with that kind of pressure that you're just one step away from winning the Stanley Cup?
You know, that's a really valid point, and that's something that that for me, it was key, and I had a little bit of a unique situation, and I didn't have time to get in my own head. I was one of the black aces that practiced during the playoffs, you know, and I was down in the American League Hockey League affiliate, and once, you know, it got to a certain point there in my finals in 2003, we were playing against the Anaheim Ducks, so they needed a few of the black aces to travel with the team for the finals. So I was strictly just me and another guy were selected to practice with the team, travel with the team. And so we were doing that just from logistics, trying to make it in time. You know, if there was, heaven forbid, something that needed to come up and you needed a guy to play, but there were still probably three forwards on the NHL roster that were probably ahead of us. And so we started traveling the finals. I didn't play in games 1, 2, and 3 of the finals. And then before game 4, there's no indication I was going to play in that game. And I remember around 5 o'clock when we get to the rink, game's at 7, and me and this other guy that were with the Black Aces were getting ready to go and go up tops of the press box. And all of a sudden the coach pulled me aside. I remember it was Pat Burns pulled me aside, and he was the master of kind of manipulating your mind. He came up to me, he's like, "Do you go out last night?" And I'm like, no, Pat, I didn't go out last night. He goes, "You didn't go out last night." I'm like, "No, I didn't go out last night." He goes, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Pat, I'm a kid, I'm a rookie. Like, I'm just trying to sneak under the radar. No, I didn't go out last night." And he goes, "If I ever found out that you went out last night, you'll never play in this league, you know, blah, blah, blah." I'm like, "Pat, I did not go out." He goes, "Good, go get dressed, you're playing."
Oh my God.
I was so scared. I'm like, "Holy crap, I better perform here." Because I was in bed at like 10:30. I'm like, if I go out there and trip over my own feet, he's going to think I was out last night. I'm never going to play in this league. So I didn't have time to think about anything. I went out there. I played in games 4, 5, 6, and 7, and we ended up winning the cup, and it was a great experience.
Oh, that's got to be a great way to do it, too. You're right, because you didn't have time to think. Now, was he asking you that because the team had a problem with people going out during the Stanley Cup final?
No, he was the king of that. He was so good at bringing things keeping you in an even keel. When things started getting good, he'd bring it, pull you right back down and kind of keep it going. But I mean, it's a valid point. You've got right now the Bruins, young fellas, they've got time to think about it. So it's going to be key for the veteran players who've been through it to you watch those guys. That's what I did. I watched those guys, how to handle situations, and that's going to be huge.
It must have been difficult, given the bright lights around where the Devils play, not to have not to have gone out that evening. All right, so we talked to Cassidy yesterday. What's the strangest thing you saw in juniors?
Ooh, the strangest thing I saw in juniors?
Yeah, he told us about a time that he saw a guy in the crowd actually punch the ref.
They suckered him.
Yeah, sucker punched the ref. It's like a whole different, it's a completely different world.
Juniors or minors, is there anything that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, I remember in junior hockey, maybe not something from that standpoint, but I remember, I mean, I think things have probably changed a little bit, where nowadays I think it would be even more of an issue. But I remember there was a team that, because I played in Erie of the Ontario Hockey League, so there was, at the time, it was us in Pennsylvania, and then we had the Plymouth Whalers right outside Detroit in Michigan, and we had only two American teams. So you'd hear about it sometimes when these teams would come over to play. You'd have sometimes where guys didn't have their paperwork or their passport or whatever the issue was to come over and play. And I've heard of guys that they pull over to rest stop and they'd stick some of the guys in underneath the bus with the luggage and they'd come over the border and then they'd come in and play. And I remember one time the Barry Colts got busted for it, and there was a big offense. I mean, that's, can you imagine even now, like sneaking players with no papers over the board just to go play in a stupid hockey game? So that was some of the crazy stuff I remember back then.
Oh, yeah. Well, the best is when they wouldn't let Probert go to Canada at all. All right. Mike Rupp. Yeah, that didn't end well. Mike Rupp, you can see him on the NHL Network and the NHL Tonight, which will air live before and after every Stanley Cup final game. It's good to know that they've taken Jaffe off of that, so yeah, they don't trust him. They don't trust him with the national spotlight, but they keep him around for midweek games. But thank you so much, Mike, for the time.
Hey, no problem, guys. Anytime.
Hi, great to see you, man.
There you go.
Apparently, Rupp, and I got six or seven people tweeting me during the interview. Rupp had some epic fights with Sean Thornton. While Thornton was here. I mean, Rupp's a big guy. He's like 6'5", 230. And apparently there was a 4 or 5 minute fight that they just let the two guys go.
Five-minute fight?
I haven't looked at the YouTube video yet, but I had three or four people tweet me and say, you need to check this out. So apparently the fight was epic when Rupp was with the Rangers.
Oh.
I have not looked at it yet.
All right. Five-minute fight.
That's what they said. I haven't seen it yet.
Well, that's a lot of conditioning going on.
Yeah, I'm just saying, skating around for about 90 seconds is enough.
Yeah.
While taking punches to the face.
It's not even getting punched. It's just like holding on to the jersey.
But the other thing is the refs apparently let it go. They go, okay, these are the two heavyweights. Let them get it out of their system.
Yeah, I'm not getting in between them.
No.
If they're still throwing.
Yes.
Yeah, they only get involved when they're just struggling and holding each other.
Exactly.
It's time to tap. If you can find a five-minute fight...
I'm going to go look at it during the break. I haven't looked at it yet.
I think someone's speaking in hyperbole.
2013, apparently. Rangers, Bruins, Thornton against Rupp.
Go to hockeyfights.com. They love me. Did not like when I hung up on that guy. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Dutcher and Rich.
You were looking real quick just to follow up that Sean Thornton Mike Rupp fight, and this was January of 2013.
Yeah, and it was hyperbole. It didn't last 5 minutes. It lasted like 63 seconds. But by itself, over a minute, still a real long time.
That seems like 5 minutes.
And again, Rupp is 6'5", 230, and Thornton is a heavyweight in his own right. So the refs just step back and let those two guys punch themselves out.
I think that fight had pretty decent Jack Edwards-isms in it. I think I actually remember that fight now that you say that.
Really? Years ago.
Now that I'm looking at it, it's because of just how big they were. And I believe Jack Edwards made that one of his main parts of his commentary. I think this is one of the reason I think so many people remembered it is because it's known as one of the more epic Jack Edwards calls.
Okay.
I'll have to take a listen, but I'm looking at it now, and for some reason that stands out. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. It was, 6 years? It's not that long.
Long enough.
Regular season game?
Yeah.
I wouldn't remember that.
I might even have that in the system.
January of 2013, he called a Rupp Thornton fight, and you have that somewhere?
I think it was purely because Jack Edwards went nuts.
Okay.
It was less about the fight than it was what Jack said, and I might be wrong, but that just, for some reason, I'm looking at it, and it rings out as being somewhat memorable. So there is, unfortunately, not good stuff going on right now in Missouri. There is a tornado that's been going through. There is, however, on CNN this morning, there was a guy who was driving what they're saying, a truck full of 45,000 pounds of soda pop. I love what they call it, soda pop.
That's what they call it in the Midwest. But I would imagine that Kurt Schilling's very jealous because he just took 300 piles of crap to when he went to Houston.
Oh, okay.
Didn't make it. He got stuck in Tennessee, right?
Yeah. Right. He left half of it in like a parking lot.
He just had a bunch of dog cages.
Right. So if you ever wanted to know what it was like to hear a tanker filled with 44,000 pounds of soda pop sounds like to have it crushed, the driver of that truck will tell you right now.
David Bell, he rode out the storm in a semi truck. David, why don't you walk us through what happened? You were driving in your truck and you heard what?
Well, the first thing I heard was my phone go off about a tornado warning. Then my girlfriend, who is also my fiance, that posted a text message to me that I was headed into a storm that Berzotto, I think it's how it's pronounced, is the first town that got hit after Eldon. I pulled off to the shoulder.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Not but 40.
Was that a fart?
That sounded like one. I was just going to say that. That sounded like one.
Okay. Now, I have not heard this, so I had no idea this was coming.
Do you have the music?
Hang on. Okay. So this is just, I'm trying to.
This is a non-planned investigation.
Okay. So let's see what we got here. Is this indeed a fart? We'll have to see. Let's call the. Now, was this part of the truck in the background? Was this him farting? I couldn't tell.
Well, listen, he's a long haul trucker. I mean, you know, sometimes man needs to do what he needs to do in his cab.
Sir, you have now entered fart court. Be heard.
All right, here we go.
Go ahead. Keep going.
Not but.
Oh, yes.
That's a studio host fart right there.
No. I think that sounded like a phone fart.
Okay.
So who dealt it? Was that studio host?
No.
Or was that guy in truck?
No, it's Jimbo. He just was having some fun.
Was that an HD fart or was that a cell phone fart?
I'm sorry, guys. I got to pull over the shoulder Smokey on here.
Because he did pull over.
I'll tell you, I don't know what had more gas, those explosion soda pops or my fart.
Let me hear that one more time.
No.
I didn't know you were going to give it the slow-mo treatment.
Well, it's for investigative purposes.
Not but.
I think that the jury can be unanimous in its assessment that was...
Not but...
There's no question.
I mean, if you're a long-haul trucker, honestly, Rich, if you're a long-haul trucker, how much time do you think passes between farts?
How often do you breathe?
He's been talking for 47 seconds.
He's probably in 47 seconds of pain trying to keep it in. Right? I mean, just think of your diet. Your stomach consists of just like Flying J Slim Jims.
Lot lizards and Flying J Slim Jims.
I mean, there really is no question. That is officially been ruled a fart.
There's no other explanation.
The only question is there more to come?
Well, I mean, this is unexpected gold.
Not but 40 seconds later, I watched it hit me.
And the breathing. That sounds like a guy who's just like, oh, goodness.
Not but...
Again, you're listening to All Things Considered.
You watched it hit you. What was that like?
I watched it. You don't want to know, man.
You were in the...
Precisely what I wanted.
Actually, that's why you're here, sir.
That's why you're on the phone.
To actually tell us exactly.
To some trucker.
I do want to know.
We just actually wanted to hear you fart on the... And by the way, there's no question that's a trucker fart. That's not studio fart.
No, that's... I mean, the guy farted. I mean, come on.
Not, but...
Show some maturity.
You were in the front seat of the truck. What happened to your windshield?
I watched it explode.
The windshield explode. Were you hurt?
I've got cuts. And
it sounded like this.
Not, but... I've got cuts and lacerations to the face, to the elbows.
What was the cargo you were carrying?
Soda pop.
A lot of it, right?
No, like just a couple bottles. Coca-Cola hired me to just take us to 24.
Sweet sixer.
A lot of soda, right? Yeah, jackass, I drive a semi. How much soda was in there? A lot.
A lot, I bet.
Considering that you're driving a 5-ton rig.
44,500 pounds of it.
So 44,000 pounds. What did the power of the storm do to this truck, which was full of soda?
He's having all kinds of problems.
What's that, though?
Do to this truck, which was full.
That was a burp.
That one sounded like it came with product.
Yeah, oh, damn.
Like that one.
My esophagus, I apologize.
You might need a wet nap.
Yeah, I think if you're a long-haul trucker, life isn't, life expectancy isn't that. I did a couple black crosses and just started farting.
Of soda.
Well, that was just the soda alone. That's not including the truck and trailer.
And so what happened to the truck overall?
Honestly, truthfully, to be honest with you, that storm picked me up and slammed me down like I was nothing but a soda can.
Picked you up and slammed you down, just demolished this truck. And when it had slammed you down, what was your situation? You were trapped.
I should have been smarter and heeded the warnings.
I understand you cut your way out. You were trapped in your seatbelt after the truck was toppled over?
Yes, I was.
So explain to me what happened there.
I used a pocket knife to cut my seatbelt, and then I climbed out the front windshield. That was no longer there.
I cut one.
Not but.
Is that what he calls yacht butt?
It's got a case of yacht butt. It's where your budget.
This rig is like my yacht. It's my 16 wheel yacht.
Not but.
That's great. All right.
What have we done here today? Science.
Yeah, it's always 44 years old. Just have a son who turned 11 today. And we're playing fart noises. All right.
Not much.
All right, Rich, what is coming up?
Something not as groundbreaking as that. Two members of The Office. Oh, they're giving each other the what for about the Stanley Cup final.
Yep. We will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Something.
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. What is going on?
Well, hey, something positive regarding the Boston Celtics. Marcus Smart has finally been recognized for his gusto, as he was named to the NBA's all-defensive first team for the first time. That was somewhat shocking news. Like, I mean, I know that obviously when you look at the Celtics and everyone looks at him as the best defensive player and like the heart and soul, but for him to be named to the first team, that's pretty impressive. I mean, he is everything that's right about the Celtics. Brad Stevens should actually make him, just go ahead and name him a captain next year. Send a message. And you know what? It would almost kind of get rid of the whole wishy-washy perception that Brad Stevens walked away with this year, that he wasn't able to, like, you know, handle big names trying to please everyone. If you just go and make somebody a captain, at least it shows you're decisive about something and that this is the type of attitude that I want this team to embody. Like, just where every single play, you give everything that you got. And on top of that, he seems like one of those guys that would put the fire under the ass of some of the younger players who might end up coming onto the team.
Depends on what the roster looks like next year. I mean, if Irving comes back and they trade for Anthony Davis, even though I too think Marcus Smart should be the captain, cosmetically, does that look right?
I don't think I would care if I was Anthony Davis or if I was Kyrie Irving. I think you're getting paid a ton of money. You know you're the star. But I actually don't think they would truly... What, you think they'd be upset by it?
Yes, Kyrie Irving would be upset.
I would agree.
Well, yeah, maybe Kyrie Irving, because that's kind of shows while you were here, we didn't give it to him. And now that you're still here, we're going to give. Okay, maybe I understand that. But it sucks. I think it's the right thing to do. However.
Of course it is. I agree. He's the heart and soul of the team. I agree.
Eric Bledsoe from the Bucks joined Smart in the first team, along with Giannis Antetokounmpo, Rudy Gobert from Utah, and Paul George from Oklahoma City. That is a decent crew that he is sharing those honors with.
And George played the last 2 months injured, too. So yeah.
So it just goes to show what a lot of the people in the media think about him. He was voted on by 100 media members and broadcasters. So congratulations to them. Well, one storyline you're not going to get sick of is Jim and Pam from The Office are feuding over Twitter over the Stanley Cup Finals. And Pam is a big St. Louis Blues fan, to where she made this video.
Hey, St. Louis.
Go get
it's
him.
It's game seven.
Oh, yeah.
Let's Blues! Yeah!
All right.
Pedroia!
I should have had that ready. Pedroia!
John Hamm, also, I would imagine, a Blues fan. He also suffers from my debilitating vitiligo.
Oh, okay.
Oh, really?
Where is his?
Nuts. I don't know where his is.
Said that's potentially crippling.
He
that's not
it,
good.
He said it was stress-related.
Oh, okay.
But they don't know.
Can stress cause that? I actually don't know.
They don't know.
Oh.
They don't know what causes it, which it makes it all the worst. Mm. Right there on my forehead.
Yep.
I was asked about it the other day.
Yeah? Like by who?
I was getting my hair cut.
Mm. What did they say?
I said, "What's wrong with your head?"
That's always nice for a relaxing haircut.
No, they said, awesome. They said, "Were you just out of town?" And I said, "No, I'm suffering from vitiligo."
Did I tell you about the one time I was getting a massage? My wife brought me one for my birthday a couple years ago, and I go lie down, and the woman starts grabbing my shoulders, and she goes, "All right, now I want you to hang on. what is this? You know you got a big bump on the back of your neck? I said, yeah, it's been there for a little bit. Yeah, doctor, look at that? No. You probably should get a doctor to look at that.
Well, I'm relaxed.
Okay. And then she goes, never mind. Now just breathe deeper.
I know, I swear to God. Like,
no, so, no, you effed up everything.
A relaxing atmosphere that is.
And in the background, it's like that ding, 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 like this relaxing music. And the whole time, the entire time, I'm thinking, oh, my God, I have a tumor. I have a horrible tumor in the back. And she's like, now just relax over here. And then at one point.
Did you ever get it looked at?
I did. And it's just like this weird thing that people get in their body. It's like this little chunk of like a fatty deposit almost. That just like it's very attractive. You actually can't see it, but you sure as hell can feel it. But that was the best. And at one point, she started trying to manipulate it, which was really strange. And I'm like, stop playing with my tumor.
Trying to pop it.
No, this is not poppable. This is like big. This is like it's like the size of like a munchkin.
Don't compare your bump to my autoimmune vitiligo.
The vitiligo.
Vitiligo, maybe it's how it's pronounced.
Nope, I just got like a big old thing of cheesy fat right there stuck in the back of my neck. Very, very attractive. Well, you know, many people have signed petitions and made petitions to try to rally for things that you know will never happen. Like, hey, why don't you change the entire ending of Game of Thrones, which got tons and tons of signature and actually pissed off the cast. If I was the cast, just like, who cares?
Yeah.
However, there is one petition that I would gladly sign, and that is a brand new one that is advocating for a certain actor to play the new Wolverine in the X-Men movies. And that actor?
Don Rickles.
Danny DeVito. I would sign that 1,000 times. What an inspired casting choice. And I guess it's already acquired 15,000 signatures to have Danny DeVito play Wolverine.
Danny DeVito is in a rare place in fame where he can do whatever he wants.
It's true.
In terms of he can act however he wants. He showed up on like some daytime show drunk. He'd been out with Clooney the night before drinking that, whatever that aperitif or a digestif from the Italian one. They were limoncello, and so they were. He was drunk on that. He can go and do It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. He didn't care.
He's also made a ridiculous amount of money, not just from the stuff you've seen him acting, but as a producer.
Yes.
I mean, he produced some big stuff. I think he was behind the Austin Powers movies and a bunch of other films. And there's several hit TV shows, I think, that he's got his finger in the pie of. And, you know, if you're one of the producers of these guys that got these shows that get syndicated, I mean, you're making a gazillion dollars.
He's been like that for a long time. Remember at the Cheers rap party, you know, his wife, Rhea Perlman, was on the cast. He got blasted and showed up on Regis and Kathie Lee the next day, bombed.
Do you think it takes like a thimble full of liquor for him to get blasted?
And it was limoncellos. That's what triggered it. It was limoncellos that night, too. Well,
and then he divorced her and he got married to Ronnie James Dio.
Marrying the same person.
It was like Revenge of the Nerds. Ronnie James Dio showed up.
He's wearing the Darth Vader mask.
No, he didn't have to. Now, the joke there is Rita Perlman looks like Ronnie James Dio.
Sure. Yes, very much
They're no longer married, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they got divorced years ago.
I did not know that. Well, if you're looking for a drink in Boston after 2 a.m., it looks like you're going to be able to find one now if you go to Encore, because they just filed in order to get their permit to serve alcohol until 4 a.m., and it was passed. As long as you are gambling at the time, you will be served drinks until that hour of the morning, which to that I say, just make it everywhere. Like, make it so you can drink. I know there's a lot of places that cut off at like 12:30.
Doesn't matter to me at all.
But it did back in the day.
Oh, yeah. In Atlanta, you could drink 24 hours a day.
Well, when we first moved here, do you remember we would go to a bar and it would be like 12:45? And they'd be like, all right, we're cutting
last
everybody
call,
off.
And then,
Like, what? Like that was early, you know, for a Friday or Saturday night.
If I did nights in Boston as a single person, I would have had no social life. I mean, I did 7 to midnight, and the idea that I could go out till 4 in the morning or till 8 in the morning, if I so choose, to go to Backstreet?
Oh, yeah, Backstreet Atlanta.
Where it was a sea of losing the girl you came with because there was all these like really in-shaped gay dudes, and then your girl would start dancing with them, and like they'd be having the time of their lives because they could put their hands all over them, and the guys wouldn't do anything, so you might as well just slink out the door. You were losing yourself in a sea of handsome gay gentlemen.
One thing I just like learned about, because I've never tended bar before, but they talked about these things called tap locks. Like all over town, most alcohol service stops at 2 a.m. in Massachusetts, and it says cash bars elsewhere in the resort would deploy tap locks and technological means to stop service. So is there something never, that has a timer that means you can't pull the tap?
I don't know.
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of it. But I would imagine it's something that is computer-oriented, and at a certain time it would lock the taps. So entrepreneurial bartender cannot serve that drink at 4:01.
I guess so, yeah.
It seems very necessary.
That seems strange. Well, the NFL has announced two AFC cities that are going to host the NFL draft in 2001 and 2023. Now, I was completely wrong when I said, who would travel to go see the NFL draft? It was in Nashville this past year, and it was absolutely packed. That's Nashville. Would you travel to go to the NFL draft if it were in Cleveland?
No.
Which is what they've announced for 2021?
I don't mind. I wouldn't go anywhere for the draft, but I wouldn't mind. Cleveland's not that bad.
Would you go and travel with a group of guys to the draft in Cleveland,
I've
Fred?
Gone to a game in Cleveland. Like, I've traveled with friends to go see a football game in Cleveland.
But that's different. You get to watch your team.
I wouldn't go to the draft anyway.
Okay.
So, but it, as cities go, Cleveland gets a bad rap.
Are they holding it, like, at that stadium there? Next to the Rock, because the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's, like, right up the street, and somehow that's going to tie in.
I mean, it's only if you want to really rock.
Sure.
It's they have not announced, but in 2023, Kansas City is the other city where now, you could go
now,
for the
Kansas
draft.
Kansas City is not a bad city either.
But it's probably freezing in April.
They're going to hold that in the big parking lot, right?
No, they would have that downtown. They've manufactured the downtown there.
Okay. And in 2020, you've like got Vegas.
It's like a public works project. It's very... It's nice if you're visiting because everything's there.
And the baseball and football stadium are off away from the city, and they share their big parking lot, right?
Yeah, they're in the worst place that they could possibly be. And if you stay at the one hotel that's by there, you're taking about a $60 cab ride to get into the
downtown city.
Okay. But Kansas City's not a bad city. I mean, I wouldn't want to live at these places, but if you go for a weekend, you could have fun. Everything's cheap in Cleveland, too. So you got that going for you. Detroit really pushed for them. Really push for him. But you know why? They like that Mayfield fella, and they'll be laughing when he sucks in 2 years. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich.
Real quick, Burt Breer just posted an article, and I have not read it yet, but the premise of it is why he believes, after the people he's talked to at these spring meetings of the NFL, that Robert Kraft has a really good chance of avoiding any type of suspension.
Good for him.
Which once again, I've not read it yet. He just tweeted it out. But I guess that from the people he's spoken with, and I don't know what the justification is, but it sounds like he might end up not getting punished.
Well, maybe that, you know, everyone has a right to get a little butt play. And that's just the way it goes. Which is the only humorous thing that's come out of this.
Yeah, so they're saying that there's a sense among those at the league meeting that if Kraft wins into court, there's a decent chance he'll also escape league discipline.
I was really worried about it. I was hoping that he could avoid that.
It says, asked if this is an NFC team executive. They said, asked if he thinks Kraft will be sanctioned late Wednesday. They said, no, nor should he be. An owner from another NFC asked the same question, said, I'd be pretty surprised if he was. So there you go.
Finally. Whew, that's a weight off my shoulders. I really wanted him to be there for the banner ceremony.
It sounds like he's going to be there. Because even if he's not punished, I mean, they say this thing isn't going to get, like, figured out until, like, a year to a year and a half.
Yeah, just keep it right there in the news cycle. It's gotten to the point where it's ludicrous on all ends. Mr. Scott
Hi.
Zolak, hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi.
What do you think the bill on that thing's going to be when it's all said and done from both sides, totaled?
Oh.
Remember, like, the Flake Gate was $43 million?
What, in terms of the litigation?
Yeah.
Oh, what Kraft's going to have to pay?
Dude, he's worth billions. What does it matter to him?
I know, but I'm saying, does the state really want to just keep, you know, file this one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they'll rack their bills up, too.
Because that's whole, we don't want to look stupid. You tried to make us look stupid, and we're going to show you that we're not stupid.
Don't let a sheriff do a news conference at a podium. And say, we got him on human trafficking.
Yeah.
They haven't left. And Roscoe sleep on the table.
Kraft, tens of millions of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
To hire three of those guys?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, tens of millions.
The Bruins stick guy?
Yeah.
I'm in on him now.
Oh, yeah, totally.
It's just that I would.
Just knock it like that.
The comparison to Jay Stu's long lost twin had me from dying laughing.
What's he killing?
I didn't know I had a brother. My mom didn't tell us.
You got to come in. Burying? You have to come in early tomorrow. It's going to be chaos in the studio. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock. So
I dropped the kid off at 8.
They're going to be wandering around here.
They're not going to leave. Leave on the couch.
Oh, they're leaving.
Donuts.
What are the chances he can get the motorcycle? One of the guys can get the motorcycle upstairs.
Where's the elevator?
Oh, easy, right there.
Is that the elevator?
Yeah.
Can you get it in there?
Yes.
Dan is saying that it can't fit in the elevator.
No, yes, they could. Turn it sideways.
Roll a motorcycle like a bike upstairs?
Yes.
Well, we have stairs.
Yeah.
There it is. Upstairs? I know. They're really heavy.
Well, that's what I was saying. Can you do that? I don't know.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it would be too much. But, I mean, I thought you just meant, can you roll them? Yeah, you can roll them.
Like, seriously, if I were the Bruins and kneeling them and swinging them, I would get in touch with this guy, and I'd put him outside their locker room. You know the hallway? You know the brick hallway there?
Oh, yeah.
Where the two lockers. They could be in there having a team meeting before they take the ice, and he's just...
What species are you breaking the neck of?
Tippity tap.
Yeah, I'm an tippity tap. As I slowly hit your head with a thimble.
Coming up next on the wrestling podcast, I go through my money in the bank that I drove to Hartford for. And you get all my thoughts of what was going through my mind as I enjoyed the night. But I regret giving her the pouty stare.
I'll tell you what's money in the bank. Finding a box of kittens. It's money in the bank that I'm going to destroy.
Do you know that's a wrestling thing, that potty stare? Like, they play too, the fans. So, like, he's trying to stare her down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, while she was on the ropes there.
she
deserved
too.
Better. I regretted giving her the potty stare.
Really?
Look at his tweets, dude.
That's awesome.
That's great.
I just love this. The woo! I laugh every time I see the Ric Flair Cumbies commercial. Woo!
He's like in the hospital. He's got something. The idea that he's lived that long doing all those steroids and drinking that much and doing all those drugs, it's kind of makes you feel better about yourself.
Sure does.
Yeah. All right. What do you got going today, Scott?
We're going to do a lot of football today, actually. Rules changes potentially here for the league and where that's heading, the Edelman stuff. Patriots will have practice today. It was open to the media. So we're going to have some tweets from OTAs. First time in a while. Inundate you with football today. And a little burn stuff.
All right. Sounds good. That'll do it for us. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, you can enjoy the misfits that will be in here. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.